Are you ready?
Coming at ya! Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the AMP Radio Studios in San Francisco, California. Unfortunately, we are minus two of the fighting four. Proteus is with his family. So, obviously, we miss Proteus. Hope to have him back next week. Pam, her daughter just graduated, so we hope to have her back next week. It's Marco and I. Let's hit it, Marco. We're going to go to UFC 249. It will take place, of course, at the Bi-Star Veterans Memorial Arena in Jacksonville, Florida. Never heard of that. Of course, the original plan was to take place April 18th at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Then, of course, the Tachi Palace. Boy, we got all of it, right, Marco? Let's get the start. Let's hit it.
Marco from Waco, nice talking to you, Tony, again. We're going to hold the fort. It's too important for us to this is the first fight in 2 months, you know. Look, we got a global pandemic. The government is telling me that UFOs are for real now. We got murderous giant wasps in Seattle. There is locals in Central Africa. We have to talk about this fight. We might not have a chance to do it again, man. We have to. So let's talk to another guy, brother.
You got it, Marco. You're right. I mean, if we don't do it now, when are we going to do it? Let's. Marco and I are going to do something weird this time. We're going to go through the entire card, or at least attempt it. To the early prelims we go, Marco. Ryan Superman's band will take on Smiling Sam Alvey. And let me give you the odds on this one, because there are finally odds. Ryan Span at a minus 420. That is not a joke. He will take, he will fight the underdog in Sam Alvey at a plus 375. Marco, I go to you. Will it be Ryan Span or will it be Smiling Sam Alvey?
As much as I like Smiley Sanalvi's gig and style, you know, he always smiles, he got the super hot supermodel wife. Alvi has never been a guy that will be dazzled with his skills. He's a counterpuncher and he doesn't freaking generate enough action. But on the other hand, he twists something on his freaking training, and now the guy is a freaking marauder. So, yeah, they're also right. Span is going to knock out Alvi on the second round. And we got a new start on the light heavyweight division. I'll be just there as a stepping stone for Span.
I agree with you, Marco. The tough part on this entire card, and we'll find out, will be a running theme, is there seems to be a lot of guys with a lot of losses, meaning straight losses, right? Smiling Sam with taking the last three losses. Ryan Span, on the other hand, Superman Span, has been on fire, like you said. I mean, I only saw him lose once, and that was at Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. Before that, of course, killed it at LFC, before it was LFA. I'm actually going with Ryan Span as well. I think he knocks out Smiling Sam. Marco, you had him going out in the second? Yeah, I agree with you. Early in the second, Ryan Span, TKO over Smiling Sam Alvey. Let's keep going, Marco. Boy, we're going to do this. To the featherweight division we go, Marco. Bryce the Twister Mitchell, I don't know what his real nickname is, he will take on Charles Rosa. I'll tell you, Charles Rosa looks really impressive in the Tough House. I don't know what's happened since. Marco, let's go to you. Will it be Thug Nasty, Bryce Mitchell, at an undefeated 12-0, or will it be Charles Rosa?
Charles Rosa has been inconsistent in the fact that he hasn't fought much lately. You know, I guess injuries have been part of that equation. Bryce Mitchell, for whatever you want to think about the guy, he's a little bit quirky, you know. the camo shorts and talking about Trump and all that crap. Yeah, the guy's a little bit weird. But he's a good fighter, man, and he will submit the crap out of you. He's just a camo shorts, so he stopped talking. But I'm thinking Bryce Mitchell. Bryce Mitchell is the better fighter right now. He's like the hottest prospect. The guy's undefeated for a reason. You know, he is talented, whatever you want to think about the guy. He's greedy, and he's also entertaining. I'm thinking Mitchell with a second-round submission because I think that is his bread and butter. I mean, he pulled the second-only twister ever, so he's good at submitting people. Let's put it that way. And Rosa is much more than willing to take it to the ground because he's a wrestler. So, yeah, give me Mitchell second-round submission.
You know, Marco, on this one, I'm going to have to disagree with you on this one. You're right that Bryce Mitchell is the favorite at a minus 160. The comeback on Charles Rosa at a plus 150. Here's the thing, though. They both have 12 wins, right? Bryce Mitchell being undefeated. The only thing about Charles Rosa that gets me on this one is that he hasn't lost via submission since he was an amateur. Most of his losses have come either via decision or TKO. So I'm taking Charles Rosa. How about this? I'm taking Charles Rosa. I don't think he can submit Bryce Mitchell. I'm going to take him via decision. So Charles Rosa via decision over the up-and-coming, like you said, right, Bryce Mitchell. Let's keep it going, Marco. We're making good time.
In the right. Early on the fight, I like that.
Right? To the featherweight, yes. Welterweight division we go. Boy, I'll tell you, this card, Marco, good Lord. I don't know if it's the best card ever, but it's certainly one of the most filled
it's
cards.
Pretty loaded,
right, to say the least. Vicente Luque. At a minus 260, he will take on Pam's favorite, Nico Price, at a plus 240. Marco, I go to you. Will it be Vicente Luque, or will it be Nico Price?
So this is La Rima. They already fought a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and Vicente Luque won that fight. I don't see why it's not going to be repeated. I mean, they are both a little bit better than the first time they fought each other 3 years ago. But Vicente Luque has improved leaps and bounds. I mean, the guy wasn't like a 6-5 winning streak before losing to Wonderboy Thompson. And Nico Price, he got a flair for the comeback finishes and stuff. When he's losing the fight, he'll manage to snatch defeat, snatch a victory out of the just defeat. But, first of all, Vicente Luque, his father is Chilean and his mother is Brazilian, so he's half Chilean. I have to pick Vicente Luque. I don't have a choice. But Nico Price is a tough guy. The last time Vicente Luque was able to finish Nico, I don't think he's going to be able this time just because Nico Price is tough as nails. But he's going to outclass him. He's a better striker. We saw how tough he was against Wonderboy. I'm going to pick Vicente Luque in a unanimous decision, man.
You know what? I got to agree with you here as well, Marco, on this one, just because both are, I think it's fair to say, right? Both are knockout artists, at least in terms of what they do. They prefer literally standing on their feet, even though, of course, Luque, like you said, has a complete game. The ages are almost the same, right? Luque at 28, Nico Price at 30. The problem with Nico Price is, like you said, he will take one to give one, right? And like you said, it was a submission last time. I think he's going to TKO Nico Price this time. So I'm going with Vicente Luque. How about this? Let's get it done early. Early in the first, Vicente Luque, TKO over the hybrid Nico Price.
Bolsey.
Right? Let's keep it going. We're going to the ESPN side now, Marco. To the middleweight we go. Uriah Hall. It's funny. A lot of people are leaving Extreme Couture right now. I'm not really sure why. But, of course, the latest one is Ryan Hall, of course, going to where did he go? Dallas, right? Fortis MMA. He will take on
Fortis MMA.
The one and only Jacare. Shout out to Proteus on this one. Jacare Souza. Marco, got to go to you. Is it going to be Jacare or is it going to be Uriah? Primetime Hall.
I don't know. And Jacare went to 205. Didn't go well for him. Cromanson, you know. dig him in on that command. I mean, pulling every single 185 that goes up. On you know, it's like a move, a new look, especially a photos MMA with in Dallas, man. I get a feeling that if his takedown defense is on point, he's gonna be able to strike Jacare. Jacare is a little bit up in age. I mean, Uriah Hall is not that young either. I mean, because of his mid-30s, but Jacare is almost 40, if he's not 40 already. I'm picking Uriah Hall just because of the age factor, and I think because the move to forwards is a good one. He won't knock out Jacare. Jacare got a chin of stomach, and it's really difficult to get Jacare out of there. But I'm going to pick Uriah Hall on the points, man. I mean, see, he's going to be more disciplined with the new look training. I mean, the guys of Fordas MMA don't play around. They always got good plans, and they I think it's tailor-made for him. So give me Uriah Hall with a 29-28 decision. I'm going to give Jacare a one round of respect.
You know what? The odds are not in your favor on this one, right? Uriah Hall at a plus 110, Jacare at a minus 120, pretty much even, I would say. Marco, would you agree?
That's a pick-in, brother. That's a pick-in because it's very, very close.
Tough part about this, Marco, look at the last – sorry. Go ahead, Marco.
No, I was going to say, 3 or 4 years ago, the odds would have been overwhelmingly on favor of Jacare. And the line tells you anything you need to know about what they think about Jacare now. He's getting old.
I completely agree with you on this one again, Marco. I mean, if you look at his last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 fights, Jacare has lost 5 of those 10. So he's based 6 of those 10, forgive me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the last 9. The problem with Jacare is, the only person that's more inconsistent than Jacare, and you're right, he's 40 years old, right, is Uriah Hall, who, you know, I'm a huge fan of Uriah Hall. But, man, he has two wins in a row, losing, of course, to Paulo Costa, no shame in that game, Musasi, Brunson, Whitaker. I'm going with Jacare just simply because I don't know where Uriah Hall's head at. You're right. If he finally is back in the game, maybe the Fortis move is a good move for him. I just can't go that way. I'm going with Jacare via let's go Jacare via decision as well. So I'm going Jacare via decision over Uriah, primetime Hall.
No problem.
Here we go, Marco. We go to my favorite division. Women's strawweight we go, Marco. No need to play careless whisper on this one because you know it's all got Michelle Waterson's name written all over it. Carla Esparza, former champ. She will take on mom champ, the one and only karate hottie Michelle Waterson. This one, to me, is probably closer in the odds than I think it would have been. Carla Esparza at a minus 140. Marco, the comeback on Michelle, karate hottie Waterson, at a plus 130. Marco, I'm just going to give it up to you and tell you who I'm going with. I'm going with karate hottie via head kick in the second round. So I throw to you, Marco, the man of reason. Is it Michelle, the karate hottie Waterson, or is it Carla Esparza?
First of all, when was the last time the karate hottie knocked out anybody? She's an atom weight flyweight. Carla Esparza, the cookie monster, man. For better or for worse, she was the original champion of the division. She's a really good wrestler, and she's been looking really good lately, brother. I mean, she's on a winning streak, and she's trying to make a claim to be the next contender up there for Wei Li Zhang whenever she can get out of China. I'm picking Esparza, man. I think Esparza is going to grind this one out and suffocate Michelle Waterson's movement and not allow her to get a space. And I win this by a grinding, a little bit boring decision, but give Esparza on the points.
You know, I think most people would agree with you because she is a grinder, right? She's a tremendous wrestler, and Karate Hottie's game on the ground isn't as great.
Striking.
It's just,
especially striking. Striking has been coming along lately. I mean, she's been getting better. So, yes, she's had. Yeah, so she got her last fight. She got a really good match with her. I forgot which one last, but she's got a striking came along.
I'll tell you, you're absolutely right in terms of just looking at it logically. I just can't go against the karate hottie. But Carla Esparza, I think the only thing that she doesn't have is a striking game. But you're right. She didn't look bad against Alexa Grasso, who actually looked pretty good. Lost against Tatiana Suarez, but most people do. Lost against Claudia Gadelha. But honestly, that's the way I saw it. But, heck, let's keep going. Making good time, Marco.
When it comes to the head of Cody, you're thinking in the wrong head.
You're probably right. Hey, I will not lie to you there. But we go to the big boys. The heavyweight we go, Alexei Oleinik. He will fight for Fabricio Werdum. Boy, talk about the battle of the 40-year-old. Fabricio Werdum, after his, two-year layoff at a minus 310 favorite over Alexei Oleinik. A plus 280, Marco. I'm confused over this one, so I'm going to go to you. Will it be Oleinik or will it be Fabricio Werdum?
Nah, dude. It was actually a 15-month layoff because Fabricio Cinco up at the LV USADA. So he didn't did a full two-year suspension. So, yeah, he's coming back earlier. But they're both 42. The difference here, one is the former UFC champion, the guy that beat Cain Velasquez, the guy that beat Fedor, the guy that beat everybody but their mother except for Steve in the ocean. So Oleinik is a good submission guy, and he can take a punch. But Werdum, when it comes to heavyweight, is almost a complete package. I mean, you are not going to freaking submit Werdum because, you know, Werdum can go toe-to-toe with a submission hole for a submission hole. But he is by far the better striker on this affair. And Oleinik got 3 minutes on the first round to accomplish what he needs to accomplish. I'm going to pick Werdum with a knockout on the second because, you know, we've seen Oleinik have a durable chin, but Werdum is going to find one of those flying knees or something weird and knock this guy out. So give me Werdum with a TKO on the second.
You know, I don't disagree with you at all, Marco. And, of course, it's heavyweights, right? So it's either going to be submission or TKO. That's just the way it rolls when the big boys. It's very rare that we get a decision. The problem with Oleinik, who I actually have become a huge fan of, just that Ezekiel, right? I mean, it's just amazing.
Is Oleinik...
Fabricio Werdum. Go ahead, Marco. Sorry.
The Oleinik choke. It's not the Ezekiel choke anymore.
Yeah, you're right, the Olympic choke. The problem is Werdum's got a ground game, right? I mean, we always forget about that, but you're right. I mean, he's got a huge ground game. The only way Oleinik goes down, and you're right, you said he's got 3 minutes. I think he's got 5 minutes in him, but I think he's going to use up four minutes and 40 seconds of it before he gets knocked out by Fabricio Werdum. So I'm taking Ba Cavallo. Go horse, right? Fabricio Werdum would be a TKO in the first, Marco.
Okay.
Good.
Good thing you agree with me. Got it.
Well, we're going to go with another rematch. I wonder if we're going to get Donald or Cowboy on this one, Marco. Cowboy Cerrone will take on Anthony, former Showtime Pettis, and I say that only because he's not the same fighter. Why? Who knows? Age, non-audit supplement.
Well,
right? I mean, who knows, right? But this one I'm surprised in, Marco. Anthony Pettis, the favorite at a minus 137. The comeback, Donald Cerrone at a plus 127. Marco, I'm going to you. Will it be Cowboy? Will it be Showtime?
So, this guy fought a long time ago, and I got to say, by the way, Anthony Pettis' style on Donald Cerrone with those body kicks. Everybody remember that? Well, that was when Anthony Pettis was kind of sort of Anthony Pettis, man. ever since Rafael Dos Anjos showed you the blueprint of how to beat Anthony Pettis, you put pressure on him and leave him space to strike, he falters. He breaks. His hands are too brittle. Or he something will always happen, and he'll get knocked out. I mean, yeah, everybody got all, like, super excited about Anthony Pettis' Superman punch knockout of Wonderboy Thompson. But everybody also forgets that up to that point, he was losing the fight.
Yep.
Wonderboy Thompson was pissing him up, and then he just bounced on the cage and landed that Superman punch from from heaven. But overall, if you watch the fight objectively, pretty Tony Pérez was losing the fight. Look, I do not like the fact that Donald Cerrone is coming back this soon because he just got embarrassed by McGregor on February. At the same time, what better way to erase the bad taste of that loss and avenge a freaking loss against a guy that you lost to before, than coming back against Anthony Pérez. I like Donald Cerrone. I got a gut feeling that he's going to get up for this fight. Pretty Tony Pérez, man, has been too up and down, inconsistent, and too brittle, man. I'm going to pick up Donald Cerrone on the upset here, and I'm going to pick him up by TKO on the second, bro.
Well, you're not joking. And so, you know what?
Answering your question, Cowboy is going to show up.
I hope Cowboy shows up. The problem with Cowboy is he's got three straight losses in a row, and the last time he had three straight losses, they gave him Yancy Medeiros. And Yancy Medeiros lost, obviously, in the first round on that one. And then, of course, then he loses to Leon Edwards. Three straight losses to Ferguson, Gaethje, McGregor. Like you said, no shame in that game, right? Those are legit stars. You know what I haven't seen in a while, though? I haven't seen Showtime's ground game. So I think Showtime is going to submit Cowboy early in the third round triangle, Anthony Showtime Pettis over Cowboy Donald Cerrone.
Oh, that would be interesting.
That's what we're looking for. Marco, let's go to the main card. We're moving, you and I, my friend. To the main card we go. Battle of the Heavy Boys. And I don't know what's going on with Greg Hardy's hair. It might be with the same thing that's going on with all of our hair during this pandemic. But, boy, that looks a little weird. Greg Hardy, say what you want to say about him. The guy is a physical specimen and a minus 190 favorite. He will fight Jorgen De Castro at a plus 175 underdog. Marco, I don't see how this fight does not end in some performance of the night or knockout. But I think Greg Hardy comes back. I'm taking Greg Hardy, first round TKO. Marco, I go to you. Will it be Greg Hardy or will it be Jorgen De Castro?
Look, for whatever you want to say about Greg Hardy, his weird antics. I mean, he got DQ, then he got the inhaler issue, all that crap. He actually looked good against Volkov. He did not get embarrassed. You know, he had a good performance against an elite heavyweight. And the guy is, he can crack. I mean, he taught you go down. He's a athletic specimen. They're banking on this guy. I mean, they're putting him on the main card because they like something about him. And I think they're putting against this other dude just because they think he can beat him. So De Castro is a serviceable fighter. I mean, he's nothing great, but he's nothing to scream, to write to mama about. So I think Greg Hardy is going to stand on this guy and probably TKO him in the second round. Oddly enough, he revamped his whole coaching staff. This is Greg Hardy. He's not training with Dean Thomas anymore, so see how that works out for him. It's still on ATT. Yeah, it's still on ATT, but different coaching staff. Let's see how that works out for him.
Wow, I didn't know that. Well, but still with ATT, so, well, hopefully, boy, that gym's going through some stuff, right? Hopefully they get that together because that's, what, probably the biggest gym in the world at this point.
Yeah.
Let's go to rematch. How about this? Or not? Actually, I thought it was a rematch. It may not be. Jeremy Stephens, he will take on Calvin Kattar. I don't know why we used to butcher his name and call him Qatar. Apparently some people still do, but it's Calvin Kattar at a minus 255 favorite. I'm surprised. Calvin Kattar, he will fight the underdog, Jeremy, the little heathen Stevens, at a plus 235. Boy, this one, the odds have me confused on this one, Marco. Maybe you can clear it up for me. Marco, will it be Calvin Kattar or will it be Jeremy, little heathen Stevens?
I wonder if the odds just refreshed because Jeremy Stephens missed weight by 5 pounds this morning. I wonder if that's why the odds is so bad. Yeah, 5 pounds. He's giving 30% of his purse because of it. And usually when you miss that badly, something went wrong with the wake up, or something, or you got an injury, an undisclosed injury, because you don't. Jeremy Stevens has never missed weight this badly ever. So something. That's why I say the odds swing on Calvin Kattar's favor so drastically. That said, I still picking Calvin Kattar. I think he's the up and comer, the guy that is super talented. Everybody saw what happened with the Mohamed Sharipov fight on the third round. That is, it would have been a five rounder instead of a three rounder. Probably he would have won. The guy is almost impossible to knock out. He's he got cardio for days. And Stevens, for as good as he is, he tends to gas out, man. And Calvin Kattar can put a pace on you. I'm picking Kattar with a TKO because Jeremy is since a go right for Jeremy Stevens from the get go. He falters, so by middle of the second round, he's going to falter, and Calvin Kattar is going to take care of him. So give Calvin Kattar to the second round.
I didn't know that Jeremy Stevens had missed weight by 5 pounds, but what's funny is I was watching a video with Sarah McMahon, and she was saying, listen, when you miss by 5 pounds, you stop trying at one point, and you're probably already dehydrating yourself back. So it's funny that you bring that up, because when does it work out for someone when they take on a fight that someone that misses weight? It's very rare, right? Usually the person that misses weight has the advantage. So I was going to go with Kattar until you told me that Stevens missed weight. I'm going with Jeremy Stevens. He's lost, what, 3 in a row, not including the no contest. I think Stevens gets it done. I think he gets it done in the second round TKO. Jeremy Stevens with fury, second round TKO early over the better fighter at this point, Calvin Kattar.
Okay. That is your logic.
Why is Sarah McMahon, right? So let's go to the good fight, Marco. Boy, I'll tell you, this entire card, you could take away the Hardy, the Castro off the main card, and it's still a stacked main card. Heck, the prelims could be a fight night amongst themselves, if not, of course, the early prelims. Francis the Predator Ngannou versus Jairzinho Rozenstruik. Good Lord. I'll tell you, these guys, and boy, when you look at them, Marco, they scare me just facing off, believe it or not. But I think Ngannou is just on a different level altogether, Marco. So I'm going to ruin it right now. I'm going Francis Ngannou, first round TKO over Rozenstruik, who probably is very talented as well. I just don't see anybody beating Ngannou. Marco, I go to you. Will it be Francis Ngannou? And let me give you the odds. At a minus 255, I'm kind of shocked over that. I thought it'd be greater over Jairzinho Rozenstruik at a plus 235.
Okay, a little bit of a... So this fight was supposed to be a five-rounder like a month ago, I think, in Columbus, Ohio. But, you know, the World Cup. But actually a three-rounder. Now, I tend to believe that the five-rounder benefited Francis, but I favor Francis. I think Francis is going to win. But don't sleep on Rozenstruik, because he's a 70-plus five K-1 kickboxer. Yeah, very successful kickboxer at that. So if he's not a stranger to striking, I think, technically speaking, he's way better striker than Ngannou is. He just doesn't have the power that Ngannou has. Rozenstruik proved that he has a chin, because he took some blasts from Overeem and he kept coming.
Yeah.
Like I said, Ngannou's power is at a different level. Now, if this becomes a technical striking fight, Rozenstruik might win this fight. But I think Ngannou is good at creating enough chaos for him to land one of his hammers and put you to sleep. And he does it quickly. So he's going to do it. It's still working. I'm going to pick Ngannou with a KO in the first round, because he's been doing that for a while now. So Ngannou with a KO in the first.
Marco, here's the one thing that I do see with Rozenstruik, and you're right, it's strike, not strike, like I've been saying.
Don't correct yourself. They've been saying it both with Rozenstruik, Rozenstruik. So either way, I'm good with it.
Well, here's the thing. I look at his record, and he is undefeated in MMA, right? There's no doubt about it, and he's TKO'd basically everyone except for one person, which was Andrei Kovalev via split decision. I look at the people he's beaten, though. Alistair Overeem, he was losing that fight until, what, the last 20 seconds?
Five seconds, sorry.
But, you know, Andrei Arlovski, who I love, but he's past his prime, right? Alan Crowder, baby Albini, right? He hasn't fought anyone that's still rising up in my eyes, and that's why I agree with you that it's going to be Francis Ngannou in the first round. Plus, when you see the face-off, even though it's only a 2-inch difference, boy, it looked like two different giant men altogether, right? And Jairzinho Rosenstruck looks like Derek Lewis's younger brother or twin brother. So, I gotta go with you and go on this one, like I said earlier. Ngannou, first-round TKO. It's just that man is just scary. Let's keep it going, Marco. We're going to the co-main event. And you can call any one of these fights really a co-main event. Triple C. Henry Cejudo, the champ. He will fight Dominic Cruz. And here's the thing. Both of them have had one heck of a layoff. Dominic Cruz, what has it been, Marco? 3 years? 3.5 years again?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I have.
Son of a gun. And triple cringe, Henry Cejudo. Remember he was going to save the flyweight division? Now all of a sudden he's a bantamweight back again? I don't know. And there's a huge difference in size. As you would say, conventional wisdom tells you it's going to be Henry Cejudo, the champ who's fought recently. Dominic Cruz, though, I got to be honest with you, plus 190 underdog over the champ. The champ, of course, a minus 210. Marco, I go to you. Will it be triple cringe or will it be the dominator, Dominic Cruz?
Well, to be fair to Henry Cejudo, he did won the flyweight title against the best ever, Demetrius Johnson, and defended it against TJ Dillashaw that came down from 135 to challenge him. So
you kind of sort of say
the flyweight division. I mean, it's not his fault that Figueiredo didn't make way when, you know, he was supposed to fight Benavidez, but that's another story. He's the bantamweight champion now. He showed so much grit on that Moraes fight because he lost the first round and then totally took over on the second and third to put Moraes away. But this is his first bantamweight defense. He was away for a while because of shoulder surgery. And, you know, Cruz has been away because everything in his body fails. But every single time he has come back from a long layoff, he won. The first time, he beat the shit out of Takeo Nishizaki, like he stole something from him. And the second time, he won the title from TJ Dillashaw. He's no stranger of getting these immediate title shots after a long layoff. Now, look, Cejudo is an Olympic level wrestler. Yes, he got decent striker, but the size difference and the fact of how he has never fought anybody like Dominic Cruz. You only get one look at Dominic Cruz, and it's the first time you fight him because you cannot imitate that. And Dominic Cruz is good at point fighting. He will rarely finish you, but he will outpoint the shit out of you. And if Dominic Cruz gets on his rhythm, because according to him, Renro doesn't exist, and I believe him because he had proved it twice, I think Dominic Cruz is going to get this done. He's going to be greedy. He's going to be tough. He's going to be controversial. Because I'm picking Dominic Cruz to be the new champion by a split decision.
Oh,
so,
Marco, you and I are on the same page.
Two judges are going to see it for Cruz and one for Cejudo. And it's going to be controversial and he's probably going to get a rematch. But yeah, a split decision with Dominic Cruz.
I agree with you, and I don't know if I was just the only one being crazy here, Marco, whether COVID has me, you know, thinking crazy. But I've never really seen Dominic Cruz get dominated. No pun intended, right? Even when he fought Cody Garbrandt. Cody Garbrandt was beating him in every single round. But he wasn't dominated, right? And I don't think Cejudo – and by the way, if you see the face-off, boy, I don't know what Henry measures himself
as. The teleconference, it's been entertaining. Those two have done their promotional job.
They've done their work, right? But I still think Dominic Cruz is at least 5 inches, right, taller than Henry Cejudo. And yes, Henry Cejudo has fought a lot of taller fighters, obviously, at his height. And, you know, listen, shout out to Demetrius Johnson who did it too. I just think Dominic Cruz is too smart. Marco, I think he's going to get it done. I see it as a decision victory for sure, the decisionator. I don't think it's going to be split. I think he's going to make Cejudo look bad because I don't know how bad Cejudo has been training in the cringe factor. Even though I like Henry Cejudo, it's just getting on my nerves, Marco. So maybe I'm choosing with the wrong thing, right?
Yeah, Dominic Cruz has feasted on wrestlers that are undersized before. I mean, beat Uriah Faber twice, beat Demetrius Johnson, beat Joseph Benavidez a couple. Yeah, it's not like he hasn't seen the prototype before. So, yeah, there we go.
I agree with you, Marco. Yeah, I'm going Dominic Cruz. Both Marco and I going with the upset. Wow. I don't know if many people will agree with us there, Marco. Let's do this. We're going to the main event we go, Marco. And I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to see this fight, and I didn't want to see this fight not because it's not a great fight, but because I don't see what it does for Ferguson at all. Like, literally, it doesn't do much for him either. If he beats the incredible Justin Gaethje, well, you know what? He should have beaten him, right? If he loses to him, he loses his title shot. Tony Ferguson and Kukui had a minus 190 favorite. Not huge. He will fight Justin, the human highlight. Gaethje at a plus 175. I got to be honest with you, Marco. I don't like this fight for Ferguson at all. Marco, I go to you. Will it be El Cucuy, Tony Ferguson, or will it be Justin Gaethje?
So it's the boogeyman versus the highlight. And
yes.
I like the boogeyman. Look, Gaethje is elite. He's really, really good. But against the former interim champion, Dustin Poirier, and against the former champion, Eddie Alvarez, they give you the blueprint to beat him. If you go into a war of attrition and you're able to withstand him for 2.5 rounds, he will fall. And one thing that Tony Ferguson has is toughness for days, and he's an expert on war of attrition, because especially on the second, third, and fourth, and fifth, he picks it up and picks it up. It's like a snowball. If this fight lasts less than 2 rounds, it's because Gaethje knocked Tony Ferguson out. I don't think he will. I think Ferguson, pardon the pun, weather the storm, that is going to start taking over on the second round, and he's going to do what Tony Ferguson does well. And he's going to be chipping away until Gaethje is going to be too so tired and so overwhelmed by the marauder that is Tony Ferguson, that I'm picking Tony Ferguson to TKO Justin Gaethje on the fourth, on a fight that is going to be probably up there for fight of the year with the Jan Jan fight. It's going to be an awesome fight, 4-round TKO for Tony Ferguson.
And you know what? 2 weeks ago,
champion, he still keeps his fight with Khabib, Conor, and get. I mean, they've done a great job promoting this fight and promoting Tony Ferguson. He's been all over the ESPN. I really like the way they treated this fight. So, yeah, there you go.
I agree with you. I think ESPN has done a great job. 2 weeks ago, I would have taken Ferguson all day long. Now with a full training camp, keep in mind, boy, Ferguson was training for a wrestler, right? And I literally think he destroys just about anyone except for Justin Gaethje. The only reason being that power that everyone keeps talking about. Right at 155, his power is just amazing. I think, I don't know if this fight gets past, like you said, the 2.5 rounds, right? Gaethje says, I have 18 minutes of fury. This was before the training camp. And yeah, I've seen both of them get hurt. The problem is I don't like this fight for Ferguson. So as much as it hurts me being a Tony Ferguson fan, heck, he's got my name, Marco, for goodness sake. I'm going with Justin Gaethje. Get this, Marco. I'm going with Justin Gaethje, and I think he's going to knock out Ferguson in the first round. So Justin Gagey, first round, and new. I'm with you. I'm with you, Marco. I'm with you. I listen, it hurts me to say this. I just don't like this fight for Ferguson at all.
You do you. Hopefully you're wrong.
Right? So let's do one thing, only because we went great on time and we only have a few minutes left. But so I'm not going to go with the spotlight fight of the night because we've already done this. But you might have already said it. So what is your performance of the night, and who is your what is your fight of the night, and who is your performance of the night?
Okay, fight of the night is going to be the main event, Ferguson Gagey. And I think performance of the night are going to go to Ngannou because he's going to get one of those spectacular knockouts. And the only one, man, is this, that is a spoil of riches, man. Let me see. Let's see. Cerrone with the TKO of Pettis. It's going to be something spectacular. And everybody's going to be craving about Cerrone. And plus, he's a performance freaking bonus collector anyway. So Cerrone and Gagey and then Gagey
I'm going with fight of the night, believe it or not, bantamweight, right? Dominic Cruz Cejudo. I think that's going to be a real barn burner, believe it or not, at that weight. Performance of the night has to go to Ngannou. There's no doubt about it. Maybe, you know, maybe Verdum sneaks in, but that's what I have going. Marco, this was fun, man. We missed the guys, meaning the beautiful Pam and Proteus. Hope to have them back next week. We have another card on Wednesday, and then one next week. Boy.
So, guess what? I'm going to give a heads up to the freaking listeners right now. Tuesday, we're going to do the Wednesday card. On Friday, we're going to do the Saturday card. So, get ready.
I like that.
There you go.
All right.
There you go.
The Marco and Tony Show. Disguise that Smack My Picks up missing two of the fighting four. Marco, let's get out of here. But before we get out of here, let's talk about what's been on your mind lately. So the thing that I've been watching the most that Pam got me on, you're going to kill me on this. Why am I watching that stupid 90 Day Fiancé, Marco? Now I'm hooked on Before the 90 Day Fiancé. Don't know why. My Twitter follow of the week. Let's give it to the karate hottie, Michelle Watterson. So that's my Twitter follow of the week. Marco, get us out of here.
So I've been listening to so many podcasts that I cannot even remember. So go on iTunes, listen to a podcast, go to audiobooks, do something different. Don't watch on SMS TV. I'm DJ Tony. Follow me, I'm Aldo Marco. Follow the absent produce at Produce. Follow the absent part of Pandora Box. We miss you guys. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Play and review us. We're trying to come back and start to give you entertainment again, guys. These knuckleheads that talk about fights all the time. We don't know anything. We're just fans. But we do it for fun. And fights this weekend. Finally, we're not ground. Who cares? There is fights. We better leave you guys. Catch you guys next Tuesday. Enjoy the fights. We're gone.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.